WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the spring. It's opening day. It's Final Four. The owners' meetings are going on. Steve Bisciotti's hiding from me for the second consecutive year. But no one will be hiding from the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week. We're going to kick it off for the spring on the 5th. At our home landing, Costas, I put a whole schedule together into April and May. Really excited about this. We have the 50th anniversary scratch-offs from the Instant Lottery to give away. Our friends at Window Nation also pulling it all together at 866-90-NATION to make it happen. Costas next Wednesday. We're going to be at Fadley's next Friday morning. The opening of the new CFG Bank Arena. Springsteen, the Eagles, the Baltimore Orioles, the New York Yankees, all in town, all at the same time. Dennis Colazos, how can we take all of this excitement over Coons Baltimore 4? What's going on, man? Any word on Lamar? Any news?
Bad news. Nothing but bad news from the Lamar Jackson front. This thing has gotten into clownish territory for sure. Ken Francis, the NFL PA, the league, sending out a memo to agents and whatnot not to deal with Ken Francis. The home gym, please tell me that's a parody. Please tell me that's not true. Please tell me Lamar Jackson's trolling all of us, Nestor.
It was a little bit of a Saturday Night Live skit, right? It looked a little bit like Peyton Manning hitting the kids in the face with the football, a little bit of that, right?
I mean, is that gym thing a real thing or not? I still don't know. I mean, can we still buy it for $699 or not? You've got to be kidding me. When you have Under Armour in this town, you have all these great advertisers, potential advertisers right in your backyard, and you're out there clowning around. This is approaching Antonio Brown status, Nestor. Not saying a lot.
I keep asking myself, and every Ravens fan should ask themselves this question, just in regard to what we've seen from this young man, what the organization has tolerated and not tolerated in the past, how the organization has behaved in contract negotiations, back to Art Modell and David Modell, right? Like, yep. How they do things, how Eric does things, how Ozzie does things, how Bisciotti does things. Clearly this week, I know how Bisciotti does things with me. And in regard to answering questions, he's evaporated again. He's not available to answer questions when the state of Maryland's giving him money and he's got a quarterback in limbo or whatever. It's not limbo. He's not under limbo. We got him under contract, $32 million. Like, he could talk all of that talk, but the fact that he's not talking and the fact that Harbaugh's having breakfast now without me, I'm now banned. I don't get to ask questions about the football team anymore. All this is going on, and the biggest story as a Ravens fan, and it's starting to turn that even the pro Lamar people, you were the first one to buy a Lamar. We talked about Lamar fans versus Ravens fans. Ravens fans are saying, dude, we liked you and we think you're a jackass. And we think that maybe we're going to live without you at some point. Because even if you're a really good quarterback and we give you $250 million, 5 years from now, you'll be gone. And 5 years ago, I mean, Flacco's already been gone 5 years, right? So that's how quick it happens that we're going to change football players around here, but I'm not going to change my closet. Even though I'm looking at my Warren Moon jersey right now. Dennis, I would just say to you that this, I'm wondering how this, and I've wondered this from the beginning, how do you get kumbaya? Let me ask you this, serious question. You work for Mr. Coons. You've employed a lot of people. Has there been a circumstance in your life where you had an executive member, a really key member of your team, really, really sideways, where they could come back to your dealership and 5 years later, you wouldn't have predicted at the bottom on the bad day when the incident happened, whatever, that you can make it work? That's a really tough thing to do in life for anyone. I have former employees of mine that I have not spoken to since the minute they left here because it's tough. It's tough in a lot of, especially when you involve fame and people who are on the radio. I know my circumstance has been difficult in partings of the ways and soothing things over. And I had a couple employees that I made right with, and they came back and it was never right. They're over 105.7 now, literally. Like, they came back, but it was never the same again. Yeah. And I'm wondering how this can be possible given this circumstance where we've already called, we began the segment by calling him clownish at this point. And that's for the whole world to see. They can come back and play quarterback, but I don't know how you can come back and command the building in Owings Mills after this.
Well, it's the old broken plate theory, Nestor. Once you break a plate, even if you put it back together, you can see the cracks. You can see the glue marks. It doesn't have the same integrity that it had before. At Coons Ford, Baltimore, our door swings one way. Very rarely will we ever bring back a former employee. In fact, we evaluate our personnel every January. And the one thing we ask Nestor is, would we rehire this person? And if the answer is no, pretty much we part company. And we can do that because we don't have people on long-term contracts, et cetera. But you have to earn your wings every day, every month, every year.
Everywhere you are.
Team.
And wherever
everywhere you are.
Right.
And at this point, as you said, I think the Ravens are looking for, are praying for a team to throw them a lifeline. They're praying that Jimmy Ursay from the Colts throw them a lifetime, or the Falcons, or the Commanders. They're praying somebody's going to step up and give Lamar Jackson the contract. And guess what? It's not happening. So now you've got $32 million tied up. You have a player who's probably going to be disgruntled, not going to show up, definitely not going to show up April 17th for the first round of OTAs. This is supposed to be the face of your franchise. And what about his teammates? Who's going to be their quarterback? Who's going to be handing the ball off and throwing deep balls, et cetera? Is it going to be Tyler Huntley and Anthony Brown and perhaps a guy like Stetson Bennett, or someone else that they have on their radar? But that's a sad thing about this, Nestor, the selfishness, the lack of regard for the organization, its fan base, et cetera. And as you mentioned, even as his heart, his biggest proponents are starting to move away from him.
Well, I would think Steve Bisciotti and Eric DeCosta and John Harbaugh could make a very, very fair case that they were his biggest proponents, that they went all in, that they've been offering him what they have felt to be a market deal, that he's never felt to be a market deal, that now that he hasn't played in two posts. I mean, Dennis, there's two ways of going with this. And I know we were going to talk a little baseball today, and certainly Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, mm-hmm. and it's all good. But for our purposes, this Lamar thing, as much as it's wah, 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 and I talked to Luke about it and he's fatigued, I think I'm not fatigued about it because I don't sit and talk about it all day.
No, but
you know, I talk
intrigued,
about,
but you are intrigued about it as everybody else is, right?
It's very intriguing. I can't, when people do talk to me about it, you know, I was at a Connects event last week with the networking people. I was at a beautiful Hunt Valley Business Association event with a lot of really cool people on Friday. I've gone, you know, I've put a suit on and I've shaved a couple times and I've been out and people talk to me about it. And I'm like, when they come up to me, I basically say, what's your level of interest? Because if you really want me to say something in 30 seconds, if you want a soundbite from me, I can give you that. If you really want to know what I think, I do a whole, like, there's a whole radio station of hours of different disseminations of the union, power, black, white, quarterback, owners, rich old white men, collusion, a long history of all of this, his injury history, his, but right. I would say for all of this, and I would be right now, Dennis, I wouldn't be with you right now. I would be literally, we're doing this segment on Monday morning. John Harbaugh is getting ready to address the media that flies 3,000 miles, of which I've been one for 20 years, to answer these questions about all of this and speak on this at length. My question, if I were there being a real journalist and being a bit of a prick journalist, because they've earned that at this point, would be, why wasn't he in Cincinnati?
Right.
What really happened there? That's the story to me if I'm the owner. And that's not the journalist in me or the prick in me or the Mike Preston in me or the any of that or the rabble rouser, because that's my question. If I'm Arthur Blank, that's my question. If I'm Steve, I know the kid can play. I know the kid runs in the linebackers. I know the risk I'm taking on. I know the kid's not out raping women, doing drugs. He's not a bad kid. Right. He's a football. He's obsessed with making money and winning a Super Bowl. That's great. I can work with that. I can work with all that. Now, why wasn't that kid in Cincinnati? Like, explain this to me. Was that his decision or did you tell him to stay away? Tell me how did that happen in a hallway that the highest paid guy on the team, the leader on the team, the guy who understands the offense better than anybody, isn't there holding a tablet, helping his teammates win a championship and saying it's grade two, it's terrible, but geez, Snoop, you beat these guys and you go beat Buffalo. Yep. I'll be ready for Kansas City. I'm on schedule, man. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. We're a playoff team. And if I come back and I can get paid, like, I don't, as a journalist, I'm intrigued. As a fan, I'm mortified, right?
100%.
Like, you know, that you're not there, that I wanted to be in Cincinnati and they wouldn't let me come. And I got paperwork to back that up. I tried to be there, okay? And I, you know, so, and they wouldn't let me go and do my job. So his job is to be the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens and to be a leader and to be a positive influence at all. That's his job. He's paid $23 million last year to do that for the Baltimore Ravens. Why wasn't he in Cincinnati and being a part of the team?
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head, Nestor. That's the biggest story out there. Why wasn't he there? He could have wore a knee brace. He could have been there on the sideline, as you said. And we saw these playoff games. There were no blowouts. They were all down to the wire games. Even the game between the Ravens and the Bengals, if not for that 14-point swing on that goal line, the Ravens had a very good chance of winning that game. Then the Bengals go to Kansas City, and it's a nip-and-tuck game, but it's a defensive struggle. We didn't see offensive fireworks. So with Lamar Jackson going to Kansas City potentially, the team could have had a shot, a legitimate shot, at going to the Super Bowl.
And if he was legitimately getting better, and he was out doing gym ads the other day. Where you were, you know, he's out doing, like, literally, my question is, was that kid hurt? Was that kid hurt, or was that kid shaking it on my franchise? Like,
yeah,
and
you know,
Steve Bisciotti knows the answer to that question.
And if the latter of the two, you know what, I move away. You know, maybe that's why they gave him the $32 million, I mean, the non-exclusive tax. Go after, knock yourself out, hoping, praying that somebody would sign him. But you know what, his behavior, I'm sure, has caused teams to take pause and say, is this the kind of guy we want to invest $200 million in? Is this the kind of guy that we want to be the face of our organization? A guy, as you mentioned, puts poop emojis out there on social media, argues with fans in a vulgar manner. Is this who you want representing your franchise? And now there aren't any offers. It's crickets. And I don't expect to be any offers, Nestor. I think this is it. I think you're stuck with them.
That's interesting. I have been chasing people for possibilities, right? So I chased Bob Kravitz, who is the king of Deflategate. He hates that title, but he is. And, you know, he's covered the Indianapolis Colts since Ursay showed up, right? And he's got a lifeline into Ursay, Peyton Manning, I mean, all the legends, in the same way that I'm clued in with Rod Woodson and Ray Lewis and used to be John Harbaugh and Steve Bisciotti, right? So I hit him and I said, what do you think? And he's like, it would be like a fresh air in Indianapolis. Like, if, and it wouldn't be out of character for Jim Irsay to do this.
Okay.
I mean, he hired Jeff Saturday as his coach 15
he
weeks
did.
Ago, right? Like, so this isn't, and he wants to win. And he doesn't care if 3-4 years from now, Lamar's got $200 million of his money and he hadn't won a playoff game. He ain't winning a playoff game without him right now, is the way he thinks about it. So there is a part that there are some teams out there without that position settled where maybe it's $165 million, Gary. I don't know. But once it's more than what the Ravens will give him, he has to consider that. And I really am wondering, with the league, with that memo last week, how does Lamar Jackson quietly get onto a jet at a private airport down the one, probably right by the one closest to his house, is the one right behind the old Orioles facility down in Oakland Park Road in Fort Lauderdale. How does he get on a private jet? Jim Irsay come in. How does he conduct the business? You and I were asking this in January. Now that we're up on it, what is he doing to get a contract?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nestor. He hasn't been able to put one together with the Ravens in 2 years, and I don't know that he'll be able to put one with anyone else the next 2 years. He needs an agent. We've all said that he needs an agent, and I'm sure teams are hesitant to waste their time in meeting with him in the absence of an agent. In light of the recent events, which haven't helped him, they've actually hurt him. He needs to stay off of social media. He needs to get himself – call Drew Rosenhaus and just say, Drew – just get me a deal. That's it.
I had
just
Lee Steinberg on last week. You think Lee Steinberg's people could help him?
I saw that. Yeah, of course they could. Anyone could help him. But his strategy is going down he's going in the wrong direction. He's trying to help himself and earn himself more money. And if he does happen to get a contract, let's say the 165 you just mentioned, I don't believe the Ravens are going to match it. I think they'll take the two first and move on. I think they've already moved on.
if they've already moved on, then what are they doing? I mean, they have an owners meeting here where Harbaugh's going to run from people. There's no media there to run from. And they have a draft in 3 weeks, and they're going to do a liar's luncheon in a week, right? So, like, by the way, they kicked me off. Chad Steele threw me off of the press releases. So I don't even know when the liar's luncheon is. I don't get the press releases anymore. So Luke has to forward those over to me. So there's a liar's luncheon coming up in a couple of weeks. But they are off the radar. They don't have to say anything to anybody. Their answer, their stock answer is, he's under contract for $32 million. We expect him to be here for the OTAs, you know, right? I mean, that's not happening, right?
Yeah, but they can't say, but they can't say anything else. In fairness to them, what are they supposed to say? I mean, they haven't said anything. What are they supposed to say? I don't know. I would hate to be DeCosta or Rashadi or Harbaugh, because like you said, I'm going to give the standard answer. You know, he's under contract, 32 million, 32.4 to be exact. And we expect him to be there.
But John, how do you live like that? How do you think that he is going to show up and practice in August? Well, he's always practiced before. He was always
next
here.
Question.
Where was he in Cincinnati?
Next question.
Where was he in Cincinnati? Why were you telling Rich Eisen and the entire National Football League Network, your partners, that he would be back at Christmas and playing football? And why wasn't
he? Well, that's
what
we thought back then, Nestor, but that's ancient history.
Is there a setback that we didn't know about?
We're focused on free agency and the NFL draft. Next question.
Who are we drafting? And why?
Stetson Bennett.
Well, the interesting thing is, look, you're Mr. Draft guy. I've always been into it. I haven't had nobody comes up to me at the Connects event and says to me, hey, who are we picking on? What? They don't even know where we're picking. Are
That's
we picking
12th? Question.
Are we picking 21st? Yeah. Are we picking 31st? Who? We don't even, nobody in the town even knows when we pick.
That's the second question. It's a long slide to question number one, which is, hey, Dennis, what's going on with Lamar? Hey, Nestor, what's going on with Lamar? There's a long slide to number two, whatever that question may be. Free agency, the wide receiver room, the NFL draft, they're all like kind of bunched up together because nobody's really focused. I just did some mock drafts. I'm finally in a draft mode in terms of who they're going to pick. Are they going to trade back? They'd love to trade back, but you have to have dance partners to do that. But they'd love to trade back from that 22nd slot and get some more draft picks. DeCosta likes more draft picks. He's chomping at the bit to get more since they only have five. But I did my mocks. I have my top 55 players for their five picks, and I'm ready to roll.
Well, they'd much rather have two twos than a one.
They would. They would. Yeah, absolutely. And they should, because there's you know, when you get down to 22, I'm not sure there's a huge difference between player number 22 and player number 38. So that's, you know, that's my philosophy, or player number 45.
Well, and the difference with 22 positions as well is that, you know, it's one more player down the line. We're getting the second best linebacker, the second best safety, the second best, whatever it is. Second best wide receiver's never been good enough, though.
No,
and there's a lot of corners in this draft, right? To think that the corner you really like might come off the board in the 50s. That's not crazy.
It's a lot of corners, but not a ton of really good wide receivers. Again, you might as well put a dartboard up there to start throwing darts. I mean, this kid from Ohio State had hamstring issues last year. Probably the best receiver in the draft, but do you take him at 22? I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered between now and then.
What about Nelson Aguilar? Does he answer any questions for you, Dennis?
but this is something that we knew. They didn't have cap space, right? They've been held hostage with the cap because of the Lamar Jackson situation. They can't improve their team because of the stalemate of the contract with Lamar. So that's
hurting the
entire team.
They don't let themselves. This is a Steve Bisciotti principle. This is a Nestor Dennis, Mr. Coons principle. Don't find yourself being at your world being hijacked by someone else's circumstance. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fundamental issue that I would think a billionaire like Steve Bisciotti, who can run from reporters, can run from anything but the check that he's getting from the state of Maryland, that fundamentally these are men who do not like to have uncertainty caused by uncertain people.
Of course not. Yep. They shouldn't. And I don't believe they ever thought in their wildest dreams they'd be in situation. I think that they thought there'd be some genuine interest already. They would have traded him or signed him by this point, and they would have a path forward.
I don't know. Eric went to Indianapolis and came back and slapped that other tag on him. And I thought, oh boy, you know, maybe Eric sniffed around late at night in Indianapolis and found out
he did.
Because they said to Eric, okay, The kid can come play with us. What does he really want? And Eric's like, you won't, this is what he wants. This is what I offer him. This is what he wants. Like, hey man,
And
like,
that's,
right?
I want to be an NBA center for the Lakers. But at 5'10" with my dimensions, that's not going to happen. There's want, there's need, there's reality too. The cleat of reality. What's going to
The
happen?
cleat of reality is that Eric and these guys are wise guys. They're glued in on all of this. That's why I said when Eric came back and slapped that tag on him, you and I got together. I'm like, Eric's the smartest guy in the room. I mean, I don't I know I know this. He's got all the information. And now
He did.
I it would have been very interesting to have been in Eric's kitchen when he's making drinks with his wife out on the internet and having him say to me, this is the way it's going to play out. And on June 1st, him to be right, because I don't know what his tea leaves were, but the fact that you would say they're stuck with him, Eric's in bed right now out in Phoenix doing his jog around the Camelback Mountain that he does with his wife out there. They're all sweaty. That he knows what the market is. He knows what the potential. Maybe Mr. Irsay's a wild card. You know what I mean? Maybe deep down, the Dolphins after the draft would be a wild card in some way. But there aren't many cards left on the table here. And I think he knew that a month ago.
Well, not only that, but the market for quarterbacks has gone in the opposite direction since the Deshaun Watson deal, right? We talked about this ad nauseum with Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, and even the latest signings, Daniel Jones and Derek Carr, they're going in the wrong direction. Clearly, whether you're going to call it collusion or not, the owners are regretting that deal that Deshaun Watson got. The Cleveland ownership just restructured his contract. You can't win when you tie up 25%, 30% of your quarterback salary to your roster. You just can't do it that way. And you can't guarantee it, because if that quarterback suffers that injury, you're done. You're not going to be able to compete for a long, long time. So again, Lamar Jackson took a chance, bet on himself, and so far it hasn't worked out. You said it may with just one phone call, one plane ride with a team like the Colts, right? But at
Well, the
this point,
biggest
Ness.
idiot in the room's gone. That happened last
Yeah,
year, Cleveland, right?
Cleveland. But that's
And
done.
then the
That
rest of them,
ship has
Carolina
sailed.
got their situation. New Orleans got their situation. Everybody's got their situation at this point. And let me ask you, this is another really deep, dark question that if I got into the third drink tomorrow night at the cocktail party with John Harbaugh or Eric DaCosta or even Mike Tomlin. Okay, he's your guy. He's happy. He's signed, whatever. Are you really going to beat Burrow, Mahomes, Herbert, Allen, in whatever order, home or away, even if you're 15-2 and he's healthy, are you going to beat them 3 weeks in a row in January? Do you feel like Lamar Jackson, who hasn't played in December the last 2 years, who didn't get on the plane to Cincinnati for whatever reason, do you really feel, do you believe in your soul anymore? John, do you really believe this? Eric, do you really believe that this is our ticket to win the next Super Bowl? Or do we need to go back into the popcorn machine to all the CJ Stroud, whoever these people are, and figure it out that way?
Well, it's not tennis, Nestor. You need 52 other men. And we saw that in the game versus the Bengals last year with Snoop Huntley. I think Lamar Jackson does give him a chance to go all the way. You don't have the quarterback doesn't have to carry the entire team. It took Peyton Manning, let's not forget, 6 years to win a playoff game, right? So he was lighting up the league in terms of statistics, but he wasn't winning playoff games because he needed a running game. He needed an offensive line, a defense behind him. The Ravens have enough pieces to make a run. They're one runner organization all the way through and through. But you know what is? They may have no other option. We're probably going to be in this situation talking about the same exact thing, Nestor, this time next year. I hope not, but I think next year they'll put the tag on them again. They'll be for 20% more, and we'll go from there.
You said something that I'm gonna. This is gonna be your homework because we'll get together later. Because I can argue with you about this all day, and I have a friend that is on the other side of this who was a season ticket holder, lifer, and whatever, like I am. You just said they're a well-run organization.
They are.
Okay, I
They
think
have
they
their flaws.
were.
Like, obviously, they have their flaws.
No. I'm saying they were for a long, long time a well-run organization. They have a different leader now, right? They have Sacha Brown. They have Eric DaCosta. They have changing times. if they were well run, how did they find themselves into this hostage situation? I mean, you know
Well,
what I mean? Like in a
because
general sense, saying well run, I would have agreed with that until the point where they've lacked integrity in a personal circumstance with me. I know they lack integrity. I can show you my phone. So I would say I burr up on a personal level, but on a football level, I'm really wondering if they're well run anymore. You know what I mean? Like top to bottom, new people, all the Modell people are gone, all the Kevin Burns, all those people, they're gone. Harbaugh, fine. Eric, they're a part of this. Steve's a part of this. But are they still on top of their game? Because if well run, they probably would be the table today that has the most chaos in the room. Other than the Commanders because of ownership, right? That's a whole different thing. Everyone else, and I've done this every year for 20 years then. It's important to me to go to the owners' meetings and be with the coaches. I've gone there and seen Mike Tomlin besieged because Ben Roethlisberger was with a girl down in Georgia. And like, I've seen Bill Belichick there besieged. I've seen crisis management in a lot of ways at these owners' meetings, for the owners, for Jerry Richardson, for Bob Kraft after the Chinese massage parlor. Like, I've seen all of these dramas. I'm thinking to myself, 32 teams in the league, everybody's in the room. Other than the Commanders thing, which is the smoking turd that's louder than anything, I can't imagine, from a football perspective, there's not a franchise that has more weird uncertainty than the Ravens do right now. And that's not good.
Well, maybe right now, but I think when you have a good foundation, and I think they do, sometimes you got to eat some humble pie, get back to your roots to what made you great. But it also takes two to tango. Eric DaCosta has said that with Lamar Jackson since day one. You can't negotiate against yourself in Lamar's situation, and it's unfortunate they are in a situation, but they have a guy who, you know, his feet are set in concrete. He wants what he wants, and he's being unreasonable by league standards, by past standards, and that's impasse, I guess, in that point. But sometimes organizations go through things. But overall, I would say they're still a well-run organization. They have some headwinds right now, as good organizations sometimes face. And adversity shows you what you got. Sometimes you step up, sometimes you step out, but you never stay the same.
I would say this: I'm on the well-run side. If they run from Lamar and have a different situation, I think
but
if they're well run, they're not going to invite more chaos back in.
No, they're not. But how? What are their options? They just cut the guy?
Well, that's not going to happen. No. They're playing poker. I agree with that. But I don't think they can bring this kid back under any circumstance happily and make him their.
No.
I think that they're a long, long way from being able to do that. And to your point, they have no other option. He's got to come back and play. That's not good for them in the certainty that they want to run the organization, right? To make offseason moves, to strengthen their team, to have some sort of symbiotic. They have peace in the building to some degree.
They have,
you know?
they have to come up with the plan B, Nestor. Plan B means what? Does he not show up for the preseason? Does he not show up at all? He shows up and he's mad. He shows up and he plays not to get hurt. He shows up and he gets hurt. He's been hurt the last two seasons. So
and that's
they have
definitely
to have
possible. Do all
right,
of
so
this.
They have to have a contingency. They have to have a very strong plan B. If I'm them right now, and even in prior weeks and months, I'm coming up with the best plan B I can possibly come up with. I'm praying for the best. I'm hoping for the best, but I'm preparing for the worst. And let's say something happens and he comes in and whatever, and he's great. That's wonderful. But let's assume none of that happens. How do we go forward at the quarterback position to put ourselves in the best place to win ball games going forward without him? Just like they went to Cincinnati without him, right? They went to Cincinnati, put up a hell of a fight. And if it wasn't for that one play, who knows what would have happened? But the play did happen and they did lose. But I think they have enough of a team, enough pieces where they can repeat that run without Lamar Jackson. And that's what they have to do, whether it's Tyler Huntley, a quarterback, or Stetson Bennett, or Carson Wentz, or whoever they're going to bring in here.
Dennis is always here with wisdom from a well-run organization out of Coons Baltimore Ford. If you're on the WNST text service, there will be little plumes of smoke that will appear somehow as an 8 or an infinity logo, depending on which way you look at it. It'll all come from our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford on the WNST text service. Luke is going to be rummaging around all things Owings Mills as well as Camden Yards here in the Weeks Ford. And a great Final Four ahead this weekend as well. And happy opening day to you, Dennis. And I hope we'll get together on Thursday. And yeah, at some point, this Lamar thing, I'm waiting for a visit. I'm waiting for him to be rumored to be visiting somewhere. And the longer this thing goes on, the more we really do talk about, like, he's going to have to come back and play. And how is that going to keep the Ravens well run, you know?
Well, I look forward to OTAs April 17th with Anthony Brown and Snoop Huntley. And then after the draft, I expect to see those two guys and Stetson Bennett at the Ravens quarterback camp.
You know what I'm going to do? If on, it won't be draft night because it won't be. If Saturday somehow Stetson Bennett shows up with the sixth, fifth round pick or whatever.
He will.
Okay. I love that I give you the oxygen enough to hang yourself or look like a hero.
I'm telling you, he will.
So when this happens, I'm going to Google up a Stetson hat or a Stetson something, and I'm going to get you something Stetson for your desk or something.
I'm getting a jersey.
You're going to get a Bennett jersey.
I'm getting a jersey. He'll be starting by midseason, leading the Ravens to victory while Lamar sits on the bench. Wouldn't that be something?
It's happened before around here. You know.
Careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
Again, this is where I'm getting back to well run. The owner's not there. They're kicking media out. They're answering no questions. And really, they have a circumstance that is one of the heavier ones they've had. So if they are well run, and I'm not here to argue for or against, I think they will have a different circumstance. They will figure this out.
Well, let me ask this. How many well run teams do you think there are in the NFL? I don't think it's many.
It's not many. And they're one of them. Yeah, right. They're definitely in the upper half. There's no doubt about that.
It's like the car business. The car business is the worst run business in the world. You have so much transiency and this and that and the other. You just got to be that much better than the guy down the street from you to win. Same thing in the NFL. It's a league of mediocrity. It's mediocre to poor. That's your scale. There's only four or five really good, well-run franchises in the NFL, and they win all the time, and they're easy to identify.
And you're well run until your quarterback plays well enough to maybe get you the playoffs, maybe get himself an MVP, maybe get himself into the limelight, and then you can't figure it out because there are not reasonable people involved here. So, I'm sure we get together in the 72 hours. There'll be more changes in this.
Yeah.
My man Dennis Kalatsos is out there at Coons Baltimore Ford, ready to sell a vehicle. He had 0% financing on some of these Ford Broncos.
0%. Yep, you got it. 0% financing. We got some headwinds in the business, which I'd expect to see some rebates and discounts and all kind of great stuff. Great time to buy a vehicle.
All right. Well, we'll get out there. And if there is movement abounding, you'll get it on the Coons Baltimore Ford WNST text service. Luke's on that. I am Nestor. He's Dennis. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.